Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Famous Personalities. Last time on the show, we discussed the life and the achievements of Rosalind Franklin, an X-ray crystallographer and physical chemist who revolutionized and changed the course of the history of life by photographing the structure of hereditary material, all while exclusively evading well-deserved recognition in her lifetime. If you haven't already listened to that episode, consider listening to it now, because today I'm going to be commemorating the life and the works of Barbara McClintock, a cytogeneticist who made incredibly insightful discoveries in the field of inheritance that paved the way for modern-day scientists. I won't say any more, but rather, let the course of history unfold itself. So please be ready for a hopefully wonderful tribute. Before starting, I'd like to tell everyone a little bit about what scientist Barbara McClintock is famous for. There is no question over which discovery brought McClintock the most fame and made her one of the world's leading experts in genetics, transposable elements, better known as jumping genes. Jumping genes are, as the name suggests, parts of DNA that can move around the genome, the entire set of hereditary material instructions that can be found in a single cell, with the exception of gametes. Simply put, they are genes, or parts of genes, that can jump all around your DNA. Jumping genes can cause mutations or other changes to the genome that can change gene expression and other features of an organism. So you can understand why it was an especially important discovery. Also, due to her incredible vision and skill with microscopes, McClintock was the first person to describe meiosis and crossovers in maize and observe their chromosomes. She also predicted the existence of telomeres, explained cell damage after non-homologous recombination, and described the formation of ring chromosomes after radiation damage, also mentioning that ring chromosomes tend to not pass on the hereditary material. Adding to her long list of accomplishments during her long and productive career. Barbara McClintock received many awards and honors during her lifetime. In 1946, she was elected to the American Philosophical Society. In 1947, she received the Achievement Award from the American Association of University Women. In 1959, McClintock was elected a Fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. In 1967, she was awarded the Kimber Genetics Award. In 1970, she was given the National Medal of Science by Richard Nixon, and she was the first woman to receive it. In 1973, Cold Spring Harbor named a building in Barbara McClintock's honor. In 1978, she received the Lewis and Burt Friedman Foundation Award and the Lewis S. Rostenteil Award. In 1981, she became the first recipient of the MacArthur Foundation Grant, the Albert Lasker Award for Basic Medical Research, the Wolf Prize in Medicine, and the Thomas Hunt Morgan Medal by the Genetic Society of America. In 1982, she was awarded the Louisa Gross Horwitz Prize from Columbia University for her research in the evolution of genetic information and the control of its expression. In 1983, McClintock received the Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine. She was the first woman and American woman to receive the prize, and she received it for discovering mobile genetic elements. In 1986, she was inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame. In 1989, she was elected a foreign member of the Royal Society. In 1993, she received the Benjamin Franklin Medal for Distinguished Achievement in the Sciences of the American Philosophical Society. And during her lifetime, she was awarded 14 Honorary Doctor of Sciences degrees and an Honorary Doctor of Humane Letters. The McClintock Prize is named in her honor. Early life. Barbara McClintock, born Eleanor McClintock, was born on June 16, 1902, in Hartford, Connecticut, into a family of freethinkers. McClintock's mother, Sarah Handy McClintock, and her father, Thomas Henry McClintock, were both descendants of well-known families that could trace their lineages back to the Mayflower. Barbara was one of three daughters and the third child in the family of four children. Marjorie, born 1898, was the eldest sister. Minion, born November 13, 1900, and Tom, born December 3, 1903, were her siblings. McClintock was originally named Eleanor, but because her parents believed that she had qualities that made her more strong than delicate, they began to call her Barbara instead. From early childhood, McClintock was able to read, and she really loved it, being completely fine with solitude. Because her father had trouble establishing his homeopathic medical practice, their family moved a lot, and McClintock didn't really feel a sense of belonging in her family, which didn't affect her too much, because even though she loved family life, she didn't feel a dependence on it, which made her stand out. She lived with her aunt and uncle for a few years before she entered school. When she returned home at the age of 6, her family moved to Brooklyn. With her father's practice doing better and her return, the McClintock family was much happier. Barbara thoroughly enjoyed her childhood, excelling in sports and playing games with children from different blocks in her neighborhood, in addition to those in her own. When she began high school at Erasmus High School, she pursued her interest in mathematics and science, and she was an excellent student. She graduated in 1918 at the age of 16 and longed to go to college, but because her father began to serve as an army surgeon, she could not attend college due to the little money coming in. So she worked at an employment agency until the summer of 1918. This was when her father returned home, and she learned that the tuition for the College of Agriculture at Cornell University was free for New York residents. She applied and got accepted, traveling to Ithaca to begin her college education. Adult life. McClintock didn't pay attention to genetics at the start of her education at Cornell, because she spent time enjoying her early college life. She thrived in the liveliness and was independent as always, developing a love for jazz music. But like her childhood, she stopped attending classes that began to bore her, which counted against her GPA. This didn't really bother her too much, but by the start of her junior year, she expressed an interest in pursuing a degree in cytology, attending the only genetics course open to undergrads in late 1921, taught by Dr. C.B. Hutchinson, along with another course in cytology, specifically covering mitosis, meiosis, and chromosomes, which led her to want to get an advanced degree. Her skill with the microscope would prove handy, and she stayed at Cornell for her graduate research with a major in cytology and minors in genetics and zoology. Based on her earlier interest, she continued her graduate research in maize genetics and cytology. Maize was easier to use since its traits show easily in the kernels of the corn. After learning how to reproduce corn carefully and allow it to self-pollinate, she tended to her plants every day and took careful notes, also labeling the plants. Only one crop of maize could be grown every year, and after the season of growth, Barbara McClintock would make theories based on her collected data, and she learned many important skills during this time. She found a way to identify maize chromosomes, discovering that maize has 5 pairs of them. She also labeled each chromosome and followed the morphology and their life cycles. This would become her graduate thesis, and she received her master's degree in 1925 and her PhD in botany in 1927. After receiving her PhD, she accepted an offered position as an instructor in botany at Cornell so she could continue her maize research. She could interact with many distinguished and experienced scientists in this manner. She worked with Harriet Creighton, a grad student, as well. Despite the long, grueling days, the two women were able to pull off their research, which was on crossing over, a physical exchange of segments of a chromosome after the first stage of meiosis, an incredible breakthrough in genetics. She was incredibly productive from 1929 to 1931, publishing 9 papers that were too important in terms of contributions to genetics, and continuing to collaborate with other colleagues. By 1931, however, McClintock decided to leave her position as an instructor. With a fellowship from the National Research Council, she traveled to the University of Missouri, Caltech, and Cornell, continuing her research on maize. After receiving some strange corn samples from Lewis Stedler, a pioneer in maize genetics, that was riddled with mutations from X-ray radiation, McClintock began to study them carefully. The color and texture of the corn was really strange. What happened was the irradiation of the corn caused damage to the chromosomes and made them break in strange places. The broken ends were so reactive and desperate to link to other pieces that they joined with nearby fragments or even connected to their other end, forming a ring. The ring would heal and basically become incapable of passing on its genes to its offspring. After coming up with her exciting research, McClintock went to Columbia University and after went to Caltech and Germany with a Guggenheim Research Fellowship. She went to Germany since it was a scientific hotspot, but was met with disappointment as World War II's beginnings stirred in 1933. She returned to Cornell in April 1934. McClintock, at the time, worked in the lab of Rollins Emerson, and when she needed a stipend to continue her research, with the help of T.H. Morgan at Caltech, she was able to get a Rockefeller Foundation grant of $1,800 per year. In the spring of 1936, she decided to focus solely on her research, and gained the role of assistant professor at the University of Missouri, continuing her research on broken chromosomes. The focus of her research would become an incredible discovery that only added to her long list of achievements. Still working on maize chromosomes, she revisited her research on the ring formations to discover something called the breakage fusion bridge cycle. In this cycle, which occurs during meiosis, chromosomes with broken ends reproduce by forming chromosomes with 2 centromeres instead of 1. But she realized that this cycle of injury dissipated in the embryo of the maize plant and healed itself, which led to her hypothesis of the existence of telomeres that helped regain the stability of the maize plant cells. The destruction of telomeres as organisms age is one of the reasons for why humans don't have an infinite lifespan. But despite this incredible discovery, McClintock was so underappreciated at the University of Missouri that she took an unpaid leave of absence in the June of 1941 and never returned. 2 of McClintock's old friends and colleagues invited her to spend the summer on Long Island at Cold Spring Harbor, a research institution. She produced a major paper there as she continued her stay well into the fall and winter, but feeling restless in a quiet town, she accepted an invitation to visit Stanford University in 1944 to work on the chromosomes of a mold called Neurospora. She quickly identified the 7 pairs of chromosomes and followed the cell division cycle, doing tons of work on the mold that no scientist had ever done before. With her success, she was getting tons of recognition. She was elected to the National Academy of Sciences and was elected the president of the Genetic Society of America. She returned to Cold Spring Harbor that winter to begin her controversial work on jumping genes. In the summer of 1951, she presented her vast amount of data at the annual Cold Spring Harbor Symposium. But many scientists rejected these controversial concepts, despite the fact that McClintock had unshakable faith in her theory of jumping genes. But her theory was eventually proved right. Until then, throughout the 50s and 60s, she was invited to give lectures on her theory of controlling elements and other themes of Mage genetics. In the spring of 1957, McClintock traveled to Peru for 6 weeks to assist students and teach them how to look at Mage chromosomes under a microscope and how to analyze them. She was invited to return to South America in December of 1958 to Medellin, Colombia, examining corn samples from different locations. She completed a lot of research on corn sample altitudes and races. In 1967, she received a Distinguished Service Award from the Carnegie Institution of Washington Department of Genetics, Cold Spring Harbor, and on October 10, 1983, McClintock's Nobel Prize was announced. Despite being officially retired, she continued to work 6 days a week and over 12 hours a day until 4 months before she passed away in 1992 of natural causes. Her work and contribution to science, as well as her amazing personality, will be remembered forever. The impact of Barbara's work. Barbara McClintock was an inspiration to many young scientists who came to her to ask about certain concepts or methods she came up with. And she also had conversations with younger children, inspiring them and sharing her curiosity. But most important were her scientific contributions. Best known for jumping genes, this discovery is only one of the several McClintock placed into the hands of science. Even James Watson, a Nobel laureate known for the discovery of the structure of DNA, said McClintock was one of the three most important figures in genetics, and others recognized her work to be 30 years ahead of her time. Without McClintock's skill with the microscope and her deep intellectual thought process, many of these discoveries could not be made, even with many talented scientists on the job. That's how far her impact stretches. Fun fact. A fun fact about Barbara McClintock is that throughout her life, even in her later years when she acquired much fame, she remained a tomboy, true to her nature, and preferred to dress in pants and a shirt, just because they were more practical for her nature. Once, she dressed in long puffy pants called bloomers, created by the women's rights activist Amelia Bloomer, modeled after Turkish pantaloons, and a woman in her neighborhood wanted to teach her how to dress properly like a young woman for her age. McClintock turned around, ran home, and told her mother, who called the woman and told her to never do that again. Quote, "If you know you are on the right track, if you have this inner knowledge, then nobody can turn you off, no matter what they say." Barbara McClintock. Thank you so much for listening to the 7th episode in our series Famous Personalities. This episode was about Barbara McClintock, a gifted cytogeneticist whose much-sought talents changed science for the better. This is Shripriya signing off. See you next time!